Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Once again to another edition of Sunday Night on a Tuesday, right here on Eagles Nest Broadcasting. Sunday night's getting to be quite hectic at work, so we've moved this show to Tuesday temporarily. I don't know if we'll stay there. We may move to Saturday night. I don't know what we're going to do here because once volleyball season begins, Tuesday night will not be an option. All right, so here we are, Tuesday night. It's 8:30. We're doing our own show. We are live on Eagles Nest Broadcasting, and we're going to. I had an interesting day. It looks like in Brussels. I didn't get to follow everything going on, but it looks like we had a backpack bomb come on board the subway there. So need to follow that a little more closely. But yeah, we just had a building burn in London. Let's look at that. First of all, the whole thing burned. I didn't see any part of that building that wasn't burning, which is rare. Usually, you know, it starts on the third floor and goes all the way to the top. And first and second floors, you're fine. Yeah. The Twin Towers, they burned. You know, it started in the middle of the building and, you know, burned upwards a little bit. Then it finally imploded on itself. Well, here the whole thing burned, and this building never imploded on itself. Kind of got people curious. Okay, how do buildings burn? Actually, just char out the inside. They don't collapse. That steel can usually hold up to it. So, one of the things about the World Trade Center that was probably different from this building is I think the World Trade Center had explosives already built into the building when it was built. All the newer big buildings do it so that they don't have to do it later when they do bring it down. And that way, when it did catch on fire, several of them crumble and fall whichever direction it fell, they just imploded it. But, you know, if they did it right, they would have warned people, get it out of the way, we're going to bring it down, blah, blah, blah. Which they did. They did do that with Building 7. We're going to bring it down. And next you know, it came down. All right. So, conspiracy theory aside, that's a conspiracy theory. All right. So, leave you to your own conclusions there. Do your own research. Grab yourself a cup of coffee. Sit down, relax. Yeah, we are living in perilous times. It is the end times. So, yeah, we just need to stay on top of things. Just because Donald Trump is president doesn't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. Remember that. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction. I think a lot of it's going to have to do with when that rapture actually starts, actually happens. So, yeah, there's been debate on years. Bill Salas wrote a book some time ago about putting, not some time ago, just recently, that there's a gap called the rapture gap theory. So you got pre-trib and now you got gap trib. So there's a gap between the rapture and the tribulation. So if you believe in an imminent tribulation, imminent rapture, but not an imminent tribulation, you know, things got to be in place a certain way before tribulation begins, then it makes sense that something's going to happen, that there could be a gap of time between that. I think there is a gap of time between in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. How long that gap is, I don't know. Nobody knows. God didn't think to tell us. Did he create angels in that time? No. think angels were created on day seven, just like everything else was. Beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Earth was that form of void, darkness came and face of the earth. We'll go talk about that, I think, when we get done with this session. So, discuss that. That's a very fascinating topic to get into. Well, we're going to get into the Church of the Laodiceans tonight, which I think is quite fascinating. Every other church, we call it the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of... This is the Church of the Laodiceans. In other words, this is the church that is run by the people. Laodicea basically means opinion of the people. Okay? How many churches have you been into where it's the opinion of the people that matter? Let's take a vote on this. Now, most of the churches I've been in, when the pastor says, let's take a vote, we all say, aye. You know, the pastor could be saying, oh, we need peanuts on the platform. Let's vote on that. And we'll all say, aye. Okay? But the church opinion, people's opinions. If I had a dollar for every time I got into a religious discussion and the preface of the person I was talking to was, well, in my opinion, wait a minute, guys. Where in the Bible does it say that your opinion matters? So that's a problem with today. The stage of tolerance. Opinion matters. First of all, I tolerate everybody, okay? I don't care who you are. I can get along with you, no problem. You can look at some of the people I work with at work and you figure it out pretty quickly. I tolerate quite a bit. But let me tell you, God does not tolerate one thing, and that's sin. Sin will not be allowed in heaven. So, you can either come in his righteousness, wearing his garments, having your sin taken away by him, or you can come in your own righteousness, in your own garments, in your own self-righteousness, and get rejected. That's the only two options you have. Turn the phone down a little bit here. Whose opinion matters? Not mine. God's opinion. This is the church of man's opinion. I know that works. Let's see. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. The Amen, what about the Alpha? Amen means period. The end. He is the Omega. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. You mean my opinion doesn't matter? It's only what God's opinion is or Jesus' opinion is? Yeah. It's only his opinion. That's the only one that matters. He is the faithful and true witness. He's the one that's going to say whether or not you've been saved. I am not to make that judgment. That is not my job to judge you. It is my job to give you the message. It is my job to give you what God said, what Jesus said, what the Father said, what the Holy Spirit says. That is all my job is. My job is not to give you my opinion on anything. Now, I do give you my opinion on a few things, but I preface that with it's my opinion. It's an opinion whether or not the rapture happens before the tribulation. Because there's no place in the Bible that specifically spells it out. It's an opinion. It's good biblical evidence for it. But there's no place in the Bible that actually spells it. In fact, this Revelation chapter 3 does it better than anybody when it says that God's going to, that Jesus is going to take the Church of Philadelphia out of the world before the time of tribulation begins. So there could be some opinion on what that time is and when it's coming out, but it's clear that they're coming out. It's not an opinion on whether or not there is a rapture. That is an opinion. 1 Thessalonians 3:24 says, the trump shall sound, dead in Christ will rise first, and we which remain will be caught up. That caught up in the Latin is raptura. We caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. There will be a rapture, a catching up, an harpazo in the Greek. It's not an opinion. It is there in the Bible. Now, when that rapture is going to be is an opinion. That it's going to happen is not an opinion. Okay? Bible says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Whoa. You know where this church is today on the topic of creation? I don't either. I'm hearing every cockamamie theory on how this world began coming out of the group of people we call the Laodiceans. Man's opinion. Well, in my opinion, God just started it all. Okay, that's man's opinion. Okay, he used evolution to create the... No, that's your opinion. Read Genesis 1. We're going to get into Genesis 1 when we're done with this, okay? We are going to find out how God created the heavens and the earth. Because it was amazing. And the scientific evidence has not proven it false. Okay? See, the burden of proof on proving it false is in the scientific community. They've got to prove it false. They got to show that something came from nothing. They can't do it. Created it. To have a creation, you have to have a creator. And here we have Jesus saying that he was the beginning of creation. Let's say in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Whoa. So Jesus was the creation? Yes. Jesus actually created the heavens and the earth. Beginning of creation was done by him. The 6 days of creation was done by him. Now, we can get into some opinions on how he did it. But the fact is, he did it. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold, but and I would that thou were hot or cold. So because thou art lukewarm and not hot or cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Phew. Spew the out of my mouth. I mean, they might come up and then go right back down in the rapture. I don't know how that's going to work, but kind of sounds like it. I know that works. So thou art neither hot nor cold. Neither hot nor cold. Well, let's look at hot or cold. A cold church would be Sardis. They're dead. How do you raise the dead? Romans. Let's raise them up from the dead, all right? You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You need salvation. We can deal with dead, okay? God is a God. Jesus is one of the best people ever at raising the dead. The dead is not a problem with Jesus. He does it all the time, okay? Order, you are hot. Philadelphia is a hot church. Their missionary endeavors are great. They're spreading the gospel throughout the world. They're bringing people to Christ. Things are on fire. But you and Laodicea are neither hot nor cold. You're not dead. You have a form of religion, but deny the power thereof, okay? You have a form of it. We see you on church on Sunday morning. You're filling auditoriums. You're filling a baseball stadiums. Wow. I was impressed with the fact that one prominent preacher in the Church of Laodicea filled Anaheim Stadium. Had Jonas Brothers sing. I guess you all know who I'm talking about there. Very prominent in the Laodicean church. But they're not hot. They're not cold. Oh, yeah. They talk about Jesus Christ. Woo-wee. But I wish that were hot or cold. But because you're not, I'm going to spew the out of my mouth. God's going to get rid of them. I like Donnie. I was listening to Donnie Swaggart, Jimmy Swaggart's son, the other day. And he was talking about going into one of these churches. He gets up there on the stage, and the house lights go down, the spotlight comes on him. And he turns around and goes, "Turn up them house lights. I did not come here to give you a show. I came here to have church. I'm not going to preach until the house lights are on. Because I want to look in your eyeballs as I give you this message. You can't look into somebody's eyeballs when the spotlights are on you. You know, when you're in the spotlight, and I've been in the spotlight before, okay? Past that second or third row, I can't tell what anybody's doing. Not a thing. It is amazing what little goes on beyond the second and third row. Because thou sayest that thou art rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest that thou art rich and wretched and miserable and poor, naked and blind." Ooh, rich church. Book Radical by David Platt. I've got it sitting right in front of me. I haven't pulled it out, but there's a place in there talking about how this one particular church in the front shows that they have a $26 million building that they just put in. They sent $5,000 to Africa. They raised $26 million for their own consumption, and they can only raise $5,000 to send to Africa to feed the poor. We got something wrong here. But you got to realize, Laodicea was a rich town. And a lot's been said about the water system. You know, the water came from a long ways away, and by the time it reached town, it was lukewarm. Everybody knows about that. But there was a rich town. They had an earthquake. And Rome sent an emissary to Laodicea and says, "Do you need federal assistance to help? We can do it ourselves." Now, let's see that happen in America. I mean, a small hurricane hits the Gulf Coast and they're asking for federal assistance. A couple $1 million in damage. Ooh-wee! Federal assistance, here we come. Damn, nope. We pay for it ourselves. We got the money. We're rich. Say you're rich, increase with goods, and have need of nothing. That's the health and wealth gospel is right there. You know the health and wealth gospel works. If you practice what it says, you'll get rich. I know a lot of people who have practiced the health and wealth gospel and gotten rich on it. But you got to remember, Deuteronomy 28, where it says that it is the Lord who gives you the power to increase in wealth. It is not yourself. God did it, and you don't recognize that, you're going to be in trouble. But this is Church of Man's opinion here, so we're rich. We got don't need nothing. Thou art miserable and poor, blind and naked. One of the other things that it was known for was eye. So they had a way of dealing with eye trouble in that town. It was pretty remarkable. I counsel thee to buy from me gold tried in the fire. Are you what are you buying from God? Are you spending all your money on yourself, or are you putting a little bit into the Lord's work? Are you spending $26 million on your own castle when you should be giving a good bit of money to the poor? Yeah. Why don't you try giving $26 million to the poor and spending $5,000 on your castle? Let's see what happens then. Ew. Remember? Thyatira was greatly praised for their good works, their charitable works. And this church here, same time, is condemned because they are not charitable. Buy from me gold tried in the fire. Thou mayest be rich. And white raiment. We talked about that white raiment. You're not getting into heaven with your own clothes, remember. Remember the wedding feast? Wear the wedding garments given to you. Buy the white raiment from God. Ooh. Otherwise, you're going to go in naked. Ooh. No self. Shame of the nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve. You're blind as a bat. The church of Laodicea is blind. In fact, most people in the Church of Laodicea don't realize they're in it. They think they're in a good church. Oh, yeah, we got programs for our children. We've got programs for the singles. We got programs for the adults. We've got programs for the old people. We are doing pretty good. You are miserable, blind, and naked. Put some eye savvy in. Read the Word of God that's for goodness sakes. Find out what you're not doing. Read these seven churches again. Listen to every, go back and listen to these and find out what your church is doing wrong. Remember, when you read this, all seven of these letters are for all seven churches, even though they're addressed to a specific church. All seven churches. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. See, he doesn't have anything good to say for this church, but yet he does love them. There is a love there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens that door, I will come in with him, sup with him, and he with me. He's standing on the outside of the church knocking. He wants to come in. Remember, there's an open door, Philadelphia. It's a closed door. Church of Laodicea. They're not letting Jesus in. They've got their own program. They're doing it their way. They're getting all excited. They have programs. But are they actually paying attention to what they're supposed to be doing? Jesus says he'll knock at the door. Anyone comes, I'll come up with him. The invitation's open, guys. This has been used for years as an invitation verse. The invitation's to the church. He's knocking at the door, but anybody who opens it, sitting there in the back of the church, you hear the door knocking, go open it. Jesus wants in. You're not letting Jesus into your services, guys. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit on my throne, even as I have overcome, and sat on my Father's. That hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Wow. If you want to know how to overcome, Let me tell you the book of Paul to read. And you need to spend some time in this book. That is the little bitty book of Colossians. Especially where it gets into who is Jesus Christ. Colossians does the most to describe who Jesus is. You see, the only answer in the Church of Laodicea is Jesus. See, it's not man's opinion. It's Jesus' opinion that counts. It is, you need to get on fire. Need to quit being lukewarm. Quit playing church on Sunday and being a heathen the rest of the week. That's lukewarm. Oh, yes, I'm excited about being in the Lord's house. It is great to be in the Lord's house. And I dare say this: the church in the United States of America greatly fits this. And even though the Baptist church came out of the Anabaptist movement back in the 1700s, they're probably the worst. The Southern Baptist, at least. I mean, we got some big churches, but they're listening to Glenn Hybels. They're listening to Rick Warren. They're listening to Brian McLaren. They're listening to all these guys who have an opinion instead of reading the Word of God. You see, when you take the Word of God out of the church, when you quit reading the Word of God, you need to be bringing your Bible to church. Don't be dependent on that overhead or that big screen TV or whatever else is up there for your Word. You need to have your own copy of the Word of God. I have it on my tablet. I have it on my phone. I have it in paper. Good to have it in paper. Have it in tape. Have it in CD. Listen to it. Read it. Get to know the Word of God. Because I'll tell you what. Today's church is going to eat you alive. You're going to become lukewarm if you live in it. You don't need to go down to Houston, to Lakewood Church with 20,000 people, because all it is lukewarm. Oh yeah, you'll get your best life now. And it won't get any better. See, I'm not living my best life now. It's going to get better for me. Get into the Word of God and read it. We're going to start learning about the creation next time. We can't do that on, we don't necessarily spend a lot of time with that on prophecy, but now that we got our own radio station, we need to fly like eagles. We need to learn what prophecy, what happens at the beginning. You don't get the beginning right, you won't have the end right. Okay? So, with that, we'll see you next time, either here, there, or in the air.
I stood and watched an eagle fly, spread his wings and soared across the sky. So gracefully he flew, rising effortlessly. I wanted to know just how to be free. Tiny fingers curled round mine, perfectly formed, newborn, the image of two. Infinite mystery, I wanted to know where life comes from. What human intellect can sway must be explained away. Search without end to fill the spirit house within. Simplicity of God somehow escapes me. Thank you. creation he was waiting to